This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. On this week's program, we'll hear from Congressman Mark Meadows about the newest problems with Obamacare. Also, Kana Gonzalez will join us to talk about recent pro-life victories around the country. But first, we'll talk with a young man who's been giving the pro-abortion crowd fits. Here's FRC President Tony Perkins as he gets us started.
You know, Planned Parenthood may be more accurately identified as unplanned parenthood. They say to our culture that unplanned means unwanted and unwanted means unloved. And if you're unloved, it's better that you never lived at all. Well, we know that this logic is flawed because it's based on the idea that your value is derived from others or what they assign to you. Well, human beings are valuable because they're created in the image of God. From the moment of conception to natural death, human life is valuable, period. No, there's no asterisks, there's no footnotes. We are created in the image of God. And the further we get away from that understanding, that's how we can begin to make children into choices as what they really are, and that is a blessing from God to be cherished. Well, an example of this is seen in the life of my next guest, Ryan, who was conceived in rape, yet his mother made the selfless choice to carry him to term and place him in a loving family of 13 children. Through such acts of love and selflessness, he has gone on to touch numerous lives with his story and through his work in adoption advocacy. Not to mention that this man is also an Emmy Award-winning creative professional and the founder of the Radiance Foundation. He has worked alongside national civil rights leaders like our friend Dr. Alveda King in national efforts to expose and defund Planned Parenthood, and he is a featured blogger on lifenews.com to address the cultural dynamics of abortion and the beautiful act of adoption. He's also been a speaker at the Values Voter Summit and will be returning by popular demand to the Values Voter Summit this October 11th through the 13th here in Washington. Ryan, welcome to the program.
It's great to be here.
Well, look, I want folks to hear your story. Pretty compelling story.
Well, you know, there are those who are pro-life who often have these certain stories, and I definitely have my own story, being adopted into a family of 15. Small little family, six brothers and six sisters. You could say being pro-life just courses through my veins. My parents, who are honestly two of the most amazing people I've ever known, two of the most selfless people, decided that they just wanted to be a mommy and daddy to those who didn't have one. So here I have the story where my birth mother, who was horrifically raped, still chose life for me, still went through 9 months of a traumatic pregnancy and made a loving plan of adoption. I mean, she went through a lot of pain, but what she couldn't see beyond that immediate moment is what was possible beyond that. And so living in a family of 15 where 10 of us were adopted, we got to all see how possibility was tangibly realized in all of our lives. And so today, also being an adoptive father, I have four children, two of which are adopted. It's just an amazing thing to see how adoption truly does unleash purpose. And that's really my story.
Well, there's also a story of creative genius. We've worked with you in some of the work that you do. You've actually not only attracted a lot of attention, but some opposition because of combining the skill and the giftings that God has given you to take this message of life out there to the culture and challenge the status quo.
Yes. You know, my poor parents, I mean, I think I've been apologizing to them since I've been 20. I gave them a little bit of difficulty when I was a child, but there was a reason for that. It was honestly training for what I'm going through right now, never being satisfied with the status quo, always wanting this sense of justice and fairness. And I thank God for the creative abilities that I have. I love being a designer. I love being what's called a motionographer, working with two-dimensional, three-dimensional design. And, you know, creating design that's compelling and creating design that allows opportunities for people to experience freedom because something has spoken to their heart, something has spoken to their mind. And I think we can achieve, you know, both of those things, reaching both heart and mind. And so that's what I do as, you know, a creative professional. And that's what my wife, Bethany, and I wanted to do through the Radiance Foundation is illuminate the truth. And how do we do that in a way that's a little different, in a way that may connect differently and powerfully with people?
Ryan, we're in a very visual culture. And that's really the way that you communicate is some of the, as I said, we've worked with you on some projects, and there's, I would describe it as visual genius in the way you put things together and capture people's attention and convey a very strong message. But as I alluded to earlier, there are some that don't like that.
There's some. I could name some of them, you know, the ACLU, Planned Parenthood, you know, NAACP. They don't. And that's, I think that's the beauty of using design that powerfully communicates, because it disrupts that status quo, disrupts their stranglehold on the American public and gets people to think, wait a minute, I never thought about this from this perspective. So we like creating content like that. An example would be our TooManyAborted.com initiative that has really riled up Planned Parenthood, causing them to hold a national conference twice to figure out how to strategize to deal with this organization that they never heard of before. It actually caused them to create a documentary, which I call a crocumentary, that featured all African Americans to talk about the, you know, the glorious work of Planned Parenthood. And it's also caused organization, one of the nation's oldest civil rights organizations, the NAACP, to have a slight problem with us.
Well, okay. Now we're on radio. So you present to them a challenge. Okay. You're young. All right. So you fit a demographic that they think has bought into this, the stuff that they're selling.
Right.
You're also African American.
I'm as black as Obama. So I'm half white, half black. So I actually don't like the hyphenation, to be honest. And that's hard because that's you never know. Like, some people like it, some people don't. But the reality is,
but they have a hard time dealing with you.
That, well, there are many, particularly those who subscribe to a liberal philosophy,
right,
who don't, you know, if you don't fit into this particular category and go along with this group think, you know, you're the Uncle Tom, you're the sellout. And what many people like me with this light brown skin or darker skin.
Nice tan.
Yeah, thank you. People covet it all the time. But what we want to do is create avenues, toward freedom.
Right.
And being able to get away from this groupthink sort of mentality. And so I like creating content that causes that kind of stir. And we get some serious pushback from organizations like the NAACP.
Well, Ryan, let's talk about how you're reaching young people, though. Tell me how they're responding to this message, because that's really a large part of your target audience, is you're challenging them to think through these things. And, you know, truth is pretty compelling if you can break through all the garbage.
Right. And you know, we are definitely in a visually centric society right now that really depends on if you can't get my attention in the first few seconds, forget about it. And you have about 30 to 60 seconds worth of my attention. And so we like creating content like that reaches the millennial generation. You know, they're exposed to so much more than we're exposed to. And there are so many messages competing for their attention. And what we have seen, the feedback that we've gotten from young people, is that they're amazed. Whether we're talking about the issue of abortion, we're talking about poverty, we're talking about the epidemic of fatherlessness, our messages are breaking through to young people, particularly college age, who don't get this perspective on campus, who don't get this perspective even in their churches many times.
Right.
And so we get some incredibly positive feedback from young people who are thanking us, and of every ethnic background or racial background, who are saying, thank you, I've never thought about it from this perspective.
So Ryan, let me ask you this before we run out of time. As you you do a lot of speaking, because you're a good speaker, you're a good communicator, you're entertaining, but you're engaging as well. And so I know you travel the country communicating with young people and others. Are you encouraged by what you see happening across the country?
I am. We have had the just incredible opportunity to be able to share all across the country, even outside of the country, in Ireland and Canada. But what I find just amazing is when people are given the opportunity to be exposed to not just the emotional, but the evidential, there are many times that things click. And we have seen that. We have seen the actual enlightenment of people across the country, young and old. And so that's why we know what we're creating is connecting with people on a deeper level, and why we love creating original content that speaks truth. And, you know, my wife's a teacher by profession. I'm a creative agitator by profession. And we love combining these skills to educate people. You know, our slogan is illuminate, educate, motivate. And our end goal really is to see people set free, and to see them be able to live out a life of God-given purpose. And it's amazing to get feedback from people, particularly young people, who are telling us what they've been able to do and you know, the freedom that they've been able to experience as a result of being in one of our speaking events or watching one of our videos. That's incredibly satisfying to know that God is able to use us in some way to be able to reach into the heart and soul of an individual.
Well, Ryan, I can tell by the time I've spent with you and watching you, you are certainly living life with a purpose. So, thanks for being with us, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tony.
If you'd like to find out more about Ryan and what he's been doing creatively, go to TonyPerkins.com. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. We'll be back with more Washington Watch Weekly right after this.
On October the 11th through the 13th, join fellow Americans who want to get our country back on the right course. Come to Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C., and stand for faith, family, and freedom. Mike Huckabee, Senator Rand Paul, Rick Santorum, Star Parker, congressional members are already confirmed. Invited speakers include Dr. Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, Alan West, Governor Jan Brewer, Bobby Jindal, and Scott Walker. Senators Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, Representatives Eric Cantor, Michelle Bachmann, and more. Today's hottest topics will be addressed: religious liberty, protection of life and marriage, government spending, and national security. Register today for just $99 at valuesvotersummit.org. That's valuesvotersummit.org. This October, stand with others who are committed to taking back our country. Go to valuesvotersummit.org.
Welcome back to Washington Watch Weekly. Well, up next, FRC President Tony Perkins is joined by our own Kana Gonzalez to talk about our efforts to help states enact a variety of pro-life legislation. Here's Tony as he gives us a little background.
Well, there have been so many great things going on in the pro-life movement that I thought it was important to take a few minutes to not only update you, but, you know, actually to do a little celebration. You know, we've seen some victories, quite a few victories, actually, on the life front. In Texas, despite intense and hateful protests, the legislators did not compromise their values and passed a major bill banning abortions after 20 weeks and putting in place some significant regulations that would protect the health and well-being of the women who go into those clinics. And, of course, while Texas has been the focus in a lot of these debates in the last couple of weeks, other states have also followed their lead and are taking legislative measures to affirm human life and promote the safety of women. And joining us today to give us more detail on the good news across America is Kana Gonzalez. He's the Director of State and Local Affairs here at the Family Research Council. He keeps a close eye on what is happening at the state level with significant legislation and helps coordinate our efforts with state organizations all across the country. Kana, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, good news out of Texas.
Yes, excellent news.
So explain for the benefit of our listeners, you know, who listen to Washington Watch, and occasionally we give a little background into the Family Research Council, the fact that, you know, we're not just a radio program. We've got over 80 team members that work here at various tasks on Capitol Hill, but you specifically are focused at what's happening at the state level. What was your involvement down in Texas in helping our pro-life allies down there get this legislation through?
Yeah, Tony, that's right. I have the honor to liaise on behalf of Family Research Council with a whole network, a nationwide network of family policy councils, and we have been working very closely, actually following the pro-life legislation, not just in Texas, but beginning earlier this year, as you know, in Indiana, North Dakota, Kansas, Arkansas, all across the country. And so when these flashpoints arise, we have the relationships down at the local level and are able to communicate with those folks in the state. In this case, in Texas, we actually had someone on the ground. A number of our interns actually went down to Austin and got to be part of this historic event in the second special session in Texas where they passed this pro-life bill.
Yeah, we also had our new executive director of our C4, Josh Duggar, was down there as well. And speaking of some of those other pro-life measures you mentioned, North Dakota and Indiana and I think Georgia had some things up as well. In some of those cases, we actually dispatched our policy experts to go and testify.
That's right, actually in two of those cases, as well as in Kansas. So in North Dakota, in Georgia and in Kansas. We had our folks going out to the field to testify before state houses, sometimes two or even three times, to get a bill through. And I think Kansas is a remarkable example of how we actually had a very instrumental role, not only in testifying for the bill, but seeing that bill through to completion, really birthing that idea.
Yeah, in fact, I think we actually wrote the bill there in Kansas, a large part with stem cell research there. Kana, there's, I think in the last, I'm going off the top of my head, but I think in the last 3 years, we've seen over 200 pieces of pro-life legislation that has passed through at the state level.
In the last 2 years, yeah, that may be a very conservative estimate. Of course, it depends on who you talk to and how they classify pro-life or pro-choice, as the pro-abortion crowd like to put it. 2011, following the historic 2010 elections, saw just a tidal wave of pro-life bills. It set all kinds of new records. And each successive year has seen record levels of support for pro-life legislation. Just today I was going through, we have nearly 70 pro-life bills passed in the states this year. Last year we had two or three times that number, and the year before, as I said, it was well over 1,000 by some estimates.
Wow. You know, what's happening here in Washington certainly is not reflective of what's happening in the states as it pertains to the life issue. However, a lot of what has happened here has given impetus to many of these efforts. As we saw the bill by Trent Franks here just about a month ago, that was the fetal pain bill, which would have prohibited abortion in most cases after 20 weeks, the point at which a child feels pain, a baby feels pain. That went through. I mean, we got it through here. Of course, it's not going to go all the way through. The Senate kills it or just doesn't do anything with it. The president would never sign it. However, that does inspire and give impetus to just like what we saw in Texas.
Yes, and it goes both ways, Tony. I mean, 4 years ago, fetal pain wasn't on the radar even at the state level, and it was only 3 years ago that the first fetal pain bills began to be introduced. There were three or five that first year. I think only one or two made it out of the first house. But we, in my shop, get to track the steady progress of these initiatives, and you're right, they go to the federal level and they come back to the state level, and we've seen very, very hopeful signs on the left.
So there is some benefit to what plays out on the national stage, even though it may not work its way into law, is that, of course, I've always been partial to what happens at the state level because I think the state legislators and legislatures are more of a laboratory of democracy or public policy, if you will. You can get much more done at the state level than you can at the federal level.
Yes, yes, it's true.
Kana, what else, anything else that your shop is working on as it pertains to the states and what's happening across the country?
Well, actually, as exciting as it is now that we're wrapping up the sessions, first in Texas and North Carolina and a couple of other places, we're actually putting together a comprehensive review of everything that's happened across the states. As you said earlier, it's good news in the states, and we're happy to showcase that on the website.
You didn't flesh this out, but you mentioned that wave of pro-life legislation came after the 2010 election.
Yes.
Which was an election year where a number of legislatures switched from Democrat to Republican, and not just Republicans being elected, but conservatives were elected and conservative governors. And now we have a host of conservative governors, conservative state legislators, and this shows that elections have consequences.
Absolutely, Tony.
All the more reason folks need to be involved at the state level.
Yes.
Kana, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate the great work you do here at the Family Research Council.
Thanks.
You can find out more about our state-by-state efforts when you visit us at tonyperkins.com. While you're there, why don't you consider partnering with us as we defend faith, family, and freedom around the country. Again, that's tonyperkins.com. We'll be back right after this.
Scientists in Oregon recently announced that they had created cloned human life and then destroyed that life to extract embryonic stem cells. They used the same technique that had created Dolly the cloned sheep, but modified the process, because this time they were using human eggs and human cells. Some will celebrate this news, but however sophisticated or well-intended the research, human cloning opens the door to a brave but highly dangerous new world. It also subjects young women to enormous health risks and turns them into a biotech commodity and target for exploitation. But there is another way. scientists have researched and used ethical stem cell alternatives to help heal patients. Adult stem cells do not require the destruction of human life, but are currently healing over 60,000 patients each year. To find out more about the science and ethics of stem cell research, download our new brochure at frc.org/stem cells.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Well, up next, FRC President Tony Perkins talks with Representative Mark Meadows of North Carolina about the latest regarding Obamacare and the House's efforts to curtail it. Here's how Tony got that conversation started.
If Congress could be sued for malpractice, Obamacare would make them a prime target for a lawsuit. So far, the results of the president's signature piece of legislation has been job losses, higher insurance premiums, religious liberty violations, and budget strains. It would seem the train that was supposedly bringing better health care has been nothing more than a train wreck. In fact, the price tag for Obamacare was revised this week, revised up to $2.6 trillion over a 10-year period. Well, as a result, some members are not satisfied with simply delaying the implementation. They want to defund Obamacare, including my next guest, a true friend of the family, a friend of mine, the Family Research Council, and a friend of yours, Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina. Congressman Meadows, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, it's good to be back with you, Tony. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Well, let me ask you, I know as I was walking into the studio, they were still debating the two delay measures on the employer and individual mandates. Have votes taken place yet?
They haven't. Actually, we're waiting, and probably while I'm on the phone with you, we'll get the call to go over and vote for that. But I believe both of those measures, based on the debate and so forth, will pass on a probably on a partisan basis, but I believe both of those measures will pass today.
Well, the delay of the mandates are one thing, but you are taking it a step further, which I think there's a lot of support for, not only among your colleagues, but all across the country, and that is simply to stop this thing by taking away the funding.
Well, we need to do that. As you know, we're leading a letter with our colleagues here, really to leadership. Some 59 of my colleagues have signed on with us to say that what we really have to do is not fund it going forward. It's really about trying to make sure we protect the people back home in our districts. We know that it's bad. We're seeing the results of it already, costs going out the roof. And the only option we have is really to look at the power of the purse, and that's what I'm encouraging my colleagues to do.
Well, how can our listeners help in this process? Because I can guarantee you probably 99.9% of those listening across the country to the program would be in agreement with you that we've got to stop this, and however we need to stop it, we need to stop it now.
Well, calls to your members of Congress make a big deal. I know it does for me, and as we get calls on a daily basis, what happens is you start keeping track of that. And I would just encourage to light up the phone lines and say, defund Obamacare, make sure that we don't, and then give us real stories on how they're seeing it hurt with premiums going up, perhaps access, people not getting hired. But we're seeing all kinds of stories, and that's what making us take a more proactive approach on this. It's about protecting people. It's not the politics of it. It's the people.
Yeah, that's a good point. And in fact, folks, I would encourage you to go to the website, tonyperkins.com. There's a link to Congressman Meadows' website. But it would be good for you to send us those stories of how Obamacare has impacted your health care, either sent the rates up or in some cases your employer may have reduced your hours so they wouldn't have to cover health care any longer. There's all kinds of stories we're hearing. The other side, Congressman, those pushing Obamacare, they rolled out all kinds of stories to get this thing passed. And I do think it's important that we tell the stories of what has actually happened as a result of the passage of Obamacare.
Well, and Tony, you're right, because what's really happening and we've heard it by Democrats to say that it's a train wreck, but it's worse than that, because even with a train wreck, you're able to hopefully build back, put it back on the track. If we go down this direction, it will cause irreparable harm to the families and the businesses and to our economy, and we'll see the fallout being much greater than ever before. I talked to somebody just the other day, and I said, well, tell me this family, this guy that's 40 years old, what's going to happen to his rates? And the insurance provider said, well, they're going to go from $150 a month to $370 a month. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. I said, how is that more affordable? He says, well, they're healthy, and so they're going to have to pay for those that perhaps don't have coverage. And listen, I'm a Christian. I believe that we take care of those that are in need. This is not about taking care of those in need. It's about doing the right thing for families and businesses and our economy long term, and it's in the wrong place.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, the new estimate of the cost, $2.6 trillion over the next 10 years, and actually I think the numbers I saw, 7 million people being booted off current health care plans as a result of employers cutting hours and reducing employees. So, I mean, this is really exacerbating the problem.
Well, it is, and you're right on target. You know, when we originally looked at Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, it was because we had some 20 to maybe as many as 40 million people without coverage. We now know that we're going to end up, after this gets put in place, that still 30 million people will be out without coverage, according to the most recent estimate. So we're going to spend $2.6 trillion. 30 million people still won't have coverage, and in the end, we spend billions of dollars to accomplish very little and expect applause from the people. And people are tired of it. I'm fed up with it, and I believe that we need to take a stand and draw the line in the sand.
All right, Congressman Mark Meadows, thanks so much for being with us, and thanks for taking the lead on this, because I do know, based on the calls we get, the emails we get, that people want to see this thing not just delayed, they want to see it go away.
I agree, and I think it's a great intended bill to provide coverage, but I think however beautiful the strategy, we must occasionally look at the results, and the results of this are not good. And so thank you so much for having me on today, Tony.
We hope that you'll help Family Research Council continue to shed light on bad legislation like Obamacare as we fight for faith, family, and freedom here in Washington, D.C. You can find links to help you do just that when you visit tonyperkins.com. And for more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts at the Family Research Council, you can reach us by phone at 866-372-1212, or you can partner with us online at tonyperkins.com. Washington Watch Weekly is sponsored by the Family Research Council.